Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them to Isaiah chapter 58. Amen. Wish those of you who are not here this morning a happy Father's Day. And if I forget, we've got a few of those nothing bundt cakes left over. And if you're a father, this is the qualifier. You have to be a father if you want a nothing bundt cake. Now, what they do with it afterwards is up to them. But we shall put it in the hands of the fathers. Isaiah 58, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. A little bit of a lengthy reading tonight, but I want you to hear this story. Amen. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob." Everybody say the house of Jacob. House of Jacob, their sins. Verse 2, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God." This is the desire of the house of Jacob, that they seek God daily, they delight to know his ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away the midst of thee the yoke, from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob." Everybody say the heritage of Jacob. Thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. Beautiful passage of scripture. Amen. In it we find, as we mentioned this morning, a dichotomy, yet another dichotomy, another paradox, another conflict, if you will. But the Lord offers tremendous resolution. I'm thankful, amen, for God's consistency. He is no respecter of persons. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost as I'm saying these words right now. Amen. I've got a message for someone tonight. Amen. You're getting ready to see the break of dawn. You're getting ready to see a break of dawn. Amen. Your weeping may have endured for the night, but friend, joy is coming. Come on. I said joy is on the way, and it's not very many days hence. Let's thank the Lord for his word tonight. Jesus, we love you. Come on, do you believe the word of God tonight? Jesus, let's thank him. Let's thank him. Let's thank him according to his words. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You could be seated. Amen. I covet your prayers. I covet the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. I know that God has placed this burden on my heart. Amen. As the service grew closer and closer, the burden grew heavier and heavier. And I don't know if I'm preaching to one or two or three or all of you. Amen. I have a sinking suspicion that some of this can be applied to more than just one. Amen. But I want you to know, amen, that as the prophet said in Isaiah 58 and verse 8, light shall break forth as the morning. There's an interesting thing about nighttime. It's the time, you can ask my wife, I'm going to tell myself a little bit, but at nighttime, even after we got married, I still have made it a requirement that we leave the bathroom light on down the hall. Is that right? Now, she has, through her conniving ways, helped me. I don't know if it's her that I feel safe with or what, but now we've gotten to a point where actually I prefer it completely dark as it can get. But for about 2 or 3 years after our marriage, up until recently, probably, I don't know, a few months ago, I still required the bathroom light to be turned on because I wanted to see down this hallway. And we leave our door open in our bedroom. And so if I hear anything, and there have been times, my wife can attest to this, that if I hear a creak or an odd sound, I'll get up, I'll get my old trusty piece of steel and go take a walk through the house looking for the intruder. I don't know if the thing's cocked or not. I don't know what I'm going to do when I find them, but I'm going to do something. At the very least, I have something heavy I could throw at them. But the point of that is it only happens at nighttime. It only happens, those thoughts only begin to spool up as I lay my head down to rest, as I end my day, as I'm thinking about the consequences of everything that I've done, as I'm meditating and thinking about the day, I begin to think about other things. And I, if I don't have something going on, you can ask her this. I often have something that I'm listening to that I've got to have my mind active before I go to sleep. It's just the way that I am. But it's what happens at night. When I was a young man, in these woods back there, if you go crawling around in those woods just on the other side of the old dam right here, this used to be a pond, and if you go on the other side of that dam, you'll see the shreds, the remains of an old fabric tent. It's probably drifting in the wind on occasion. And Caleb Rayner and I decided that it was a brilliant idea to go camping literally nearly every night. I mean, I'm not exaggerating, and you can verify this with other folks, but probably 5 nights out of the week for a spell, I would go out and we'd stay, and I'm talking about in the wintertime, I'm talking about snow on the ground. If it was rainy, it did not matter. We were roughing it. We were out there in the woods. And I experienced something about that time about night during that time that I never knew. And that is very early in the morning, between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning, the night becomes the coldest that it's ever been, all night long. You could see it on your temperature gauges. It'll drop right before the sun comes up. And there's something about it that as the night proceeds, it gets colder, it gets stiller, it gets quieter, it seems like wetter. The moisture in the air starts to settle down on you. And by that time, by about 4 o'clock in the morning, your fire has died out and you're too tired to go find another piece of wood and throw it in there. And so you're losing all that heat. And everything that was providing you comfort throughout the night is beginning to dissipate. And you get this uneasy feeling if you wake up early in the morning. You get this uneasy feeling about what is going to happen. The possibilities. Am I in danger right now? I could insert a story here about Brother Josh, but I'm not going to. You can ask him. But it's what are the possibilities? What is the darkness concealing? What is beyond the cast of that light? What can I not see in the night? What can I not see? Amen. The darkest moments, the coldest moments, the stillest moments of the night seem to me to be in those moments just before the sun starts creeping over the horizon. Amen. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, that Jacob was left alone. He was alone in the still of the night. He was alone and darkness surrounded him. He had no recourse. He had no protection other than his own might, his own power, his own provisions, his own planning. Jacob was alone in the middle of this night. And in the middle of the night, there came a man along to, the Bible says, wrestle with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Amen. Not only was Jacob alone, but Jacob was maimed. He was affected by the power of this, what we now know is an angel sent from God. That angel touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and he hindered him from being the strength that he was, all of his might, all of the power that he had, Jacob had lost in that wrestling match. Verse 26 says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob responded to him with a very clear and unequivocal response. He said, I will not let you go. I'm not wasting the hours that I spent alone. I'm not wasting the time that I spent wrestling through the night with you. I'm not going to waste the time that you and I have spent throughout this night. Amen. Are you telling me I've got to go through another night? Are you telling me I've got to go through this all over again? No, the answer's no. I'm not going to let you go until you give to me what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Child of God. Amen. I don't know how long your night has been. Amen. I don't know how long I'm going to preach tonight. Amen. I've got more, but I'm about where I want to be. Amen. As I feel what I'm preaching right now. Amen. But let me tell you, I don't know how long you've been wrestling. I don't know how long you've been praying for a breakthrough. I don't know how long you've been struggling. I don't know how long God has been dealing with you about this or that. Amen. But my encouragement, my admonition to you tonight, amen, is that someone in this place, if you hold on just a little bit longer, amen, you're getting ready to see a break in the dawn. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jacob would not have received that blessing. He would have gone on about his day, amen, walking with a different walk, looking like a different man, amen, all without the blessing. If he had not held on, amen, if he had not given in, amen, if he had just given up and said, well, okay, I guess it's fine. No, Jacob said, I'm not wasting this time. Hallelujah. Some of you have come a long ways. Some of you have gone through a whole lot. Hey, I'm impressed by some of you, amen, as I watch, as, amen, the dynamics of this world, amen, the influence of the enemy, amen, the temptations and the trials of life before, amen, I'm watching you, Jacob. I see as you wrestle through the night, amen, and I believe, amen, that if you can hold on. Hey, that's the message. I don't have anywhere else to go tonight. Amen. I've got more scriptures that'll back this up. Amen. But this is the point. Amen. That if you hold on, amen, God will give you the... You say, oh, Pastor, it's so dark. I don't understand. I can't see my hands in front of my face. I don't know where my next step should be. Just hold on. Just hold on. Hey, do you see a little glimmer coming up over the horizon? Amen. Do you hear the birds beginning to chirp? And do you hear any hope? I've come to give somebody hope tonight. Hallelujah. How long have you been praying that prayer? God, let this break. How long have you been praying that prayer? God, give me understanding. How long have you been praying that prayer? I don't understand. God, give me direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So you want a little more? I've got a little more. Amen. In our text, it was the house of Jacob. I had you mention it because I wanted to point out, amen, that phrase. It was the house of Jacob, the one that we're talking about, the one who wrestled with the angel, the one that got touched by the angel, and his the hollow of his thigh was put out of joint. His thigh was put out of joint. He began to walk. This is the guy that we're talking about. His descendants, his children, his offspring. And these children had a great desire, just like Father Jacob had. They had a desire in their heart to live for God. Amen. They had a hunger and a zeal, amen, to live for God. Amen. There were people on the outside, even brothers and sisters, amen, that would say yay and nay to them. And they heard the scoffers. They heard the mockers talking about them behind their back. Amen. But Jacob's house said, I still want to please the living God. I don't know if there's anybody in here that feels that way. I don't know if there's anybody in here that can resonate with the house of Jacob. Amen. Come what may, come hell or high water, I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see the Lord identifying his expectation of the word that was used in the passage was fast. Consecration. Looking at the word in the original, Isaiah was using this Hebrew word to literally describe fasting, as you and I would think about it today. Suspending our diet, pushing back the plate for a day or however long. And so that's literally the interpretation. But if you'll allow me, I'd like to make an application and extend that to beyond merely fasting. And extend it to our personal consecration with God. It includes fasting, no doubt. Amen. But it also includes prayer. It includes separation unto God. It includes overcoming temptation. It includes obedience to God's holy word. Hallelujah. And so, amen, the Lord in our passage of scripture said, hey, did you think that I just asked you to go on this day of fast? Amen. So that I can exhibit my strength. That's literally what he was saying in the passage. Amen. Let me read it to you again. Amen. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Let me find it. Hang on. Verse number 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no? This is the wrestling match that's going on in their mind. Why are we doing all this good? Why are we doing all these things? And it doesn't even seem like you notice it, God. It doesn't even make sense. I don't understand why you're causing us to afflict our soul. Why do you expect all of this of me? Do you really expect me to look like that? Do you really expect me to dress like that? Do you really expect me to talk like that? Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Thou takest, God, don't you see I'm in the middle of the night? Don't you see I'm going through the trial of my life? What's going on? Why can't you hear me? Why can't, are you paying attention to me at all? Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? This is a rhetorical question. God said, I did not choose the fast that you're doing. I didn't choose the fast that has zero consequences. I didn't choose a fast for you to just go through the motions, to check the box, to do it out. Friend, if you're doing out of obligation, that I say stop. If you're doing it because I say so or because Bishop has said so, I'd say my recommendation, hold the phone. Somebody answer the phone. Just kidding. That if you're doing it because of those reasons, then friend, you're not doing it for the right reasons. Let me show you the right reasons according to God. Is it such a fast? We're on verse 5. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here's the reason that I want you to go on a fast. To loose the bands of the wickedness. To undo heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. And you can read on. There's more examples like this. The reason you're going through the darkest part of your night, the reason that you go through the night is so in the morning I can show forth my light. Yes. Yes. You don't have a dawn without a night. You don't have morning without night. You need to go through. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. You've got to go through these trials. You've got to go through, amen, these struggles. You've got to go through this fast. Amen. And if you don't do it out of your own willingness, if you don't do it as a result of your own consecration and faith towards God, let me just stop for a second and say that if you do a fast according to God's word, amen, in response to God's word, if tonight something gets in your craw and you feel like I want to do something more for God, amen, than what I've been doing, do it on faith, not because I've asked you to do it, but do it because you believe that God is going to set free the captive. Do it because you want to see a breakthrough in your situation. Do it with faith, not out of obligation. Doing it out of obligation, I said that you might as well stop. There is some value in it. There is some value in obedience. And God does honor that. But how much more, amen, if you don't just do it. Amen. God was looking down at the house of Jacob and they were scratching their head saying, why? And God's saying, don't do it. Don't call this an acceptable day. Don't do it. Don't waste your time. Hallelujah. This is not what I'm asking for. What I'm asking for is a people that have confidence, that have faith, amen, in their consecration towards God, that their God is really able to heal, that their God is really able to set free. That I know, I've witnessed, I've seen, I've got my own testimonies. I can go to prayer and I can know, amen, that God will answer my prayer. Amen, that I know, amen, beyond the shadow of a doubt, amen, that God can hear, God will hear, that he's not playing games. I feel like I've come back to that almost every weekend. Amen. But let me just reiterate tonight. God is not willing, amen, that we should just go through the motions and do things out of obligation, but that we would do it out of faith towards him. Out of sincerity. Faith does include obedience. Faith does a good, I hope I don't have to qualify all of this tonight. Amen. But then God goes through this. He says, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of weakness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and so on and so on. And then verse 8, he goes, then when you have achieved this kind of fast. Verse number 8 says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. The darkness has to go. Amen. The darkness has to flee. The bonds have to break. Amen. The spirit of heaviness has to give way. Amen. To the grace of God. Ooh, I'm preaching to you tonight in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are some that are come to this church. Amen. With the same desire of the house of Jacob in Isaiah 58 and 2. They seek him daily. They delight to know his ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsaking the ordinance, not the ordinance of their God. They ask me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. You have a desire to walk with God. You have a desire to please God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know, amen, that your labor in the kingdom of God, your sacrifices unto God in faith, not out of obligation, but the ones done in faith, amen, and your personal devotion with God, God will hear it. He will hear it, and he will abide by it. He will He will respond to it. Amen. He doesn't leave his children on red, if you will. Amen. Hallelujah. Any of you got a friend that you send them a text message and it takes 5 days for them to respond? Boys, if you're texting a girl and it takes her 10 days to respond, you might as well move on. Don't keep reaching. Hallelujah. These remarks that God made about the house of Jacob are not made lightly. He's dealing with judgment in this passage, but yet he's acknowledging their desire. He's recognizing that, hey, they have a daily walk. They have a delight to know my, they have a hunger for righteousness. They're pursuing the ordinances of justice. Hallelujah. I mean, let me tell somebody tonight, amen, your situation, doesn't matter if how long you've been living for God, if you have committed yourself to God, he's not leaving you on red. He hasn't forgotten about you. I'll tell you one thing that I was just prompted right now, and that is that he may just be waiting to see how everything pans out. He's waiting to see how serious you are about this commitment. He may let the night drag on a little bit longer just so he could see, is this Jacob willing to hang on? He may touch the hollow of your thigh. You may have a total different walk. You may have a total different appearance. You may have a total different look after the night is over. But let me tell you that God will send his angel to grant blessings. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to try to skip through some of this. When Jesus told the disciples when they were fasting, don't do it out of obligation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, it says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. If you're willing to go through the night alone, if you're willing to go through the night talking to the Lord, if you're willing to go through the night, follow through on your commitments with him, your consecration with him, then thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. That's scripture. That doesn't require any inspiration. The inspiration was already there when Matthew penned it down in chapter 6, verse 18. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We love you, Savior. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Master. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's talk to him together. Let's bring our minds together right now. Jesus, we worship you. I love you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. There's still some distraction, but let's go ahead and focus on the Lord for a few moments. Lord, we love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm wrapping this up. I'm bringing this to a close. Matthew 21 and 44 says, whosoever shall fall on this stone and be broken. Sorry. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. There are two groups of people in this world, the ones who are willing to be broken and the ones that require God's breaking. Amen. But God's will be done. God will teach you the lesson one way or the other. Amen. Those of you who've been on both sides of that lesson, say amen. Amen. I've been there. Amen. It's so much better to be broken. So much better to fall on the rock. So much better to take our own will and put it aside and say, Lord, whatever you will. God, I'm willing. I'm willing. God may be requiring some things of you for the first time, and it's a challenge. But if you'll submit your will to his and go through with your consecration to him, your commitment to him, the dawn will break.
That's right.
That's what Jacob had to do. For him, it was a physical thing that broke. For him, it was his literal strength. And you know that in this part of the story, perhaps you may know, and for those of you who don't, I'll fill you in. He's traveling. He's got a long ways to go. He's got destinations on the map marked out. He's getting ready to travel and travel and travel away. I mean, don't you think the use of his legs would have been good? Absolutely. So for him to have this limp now is a major setback physically. But he was willing to put that in God's hands. He was willing to physically, literally, give to God his physical well-being for the blessing that God gave to him through the angel of God. I'm not calling myself an angel. I don't have a halo and I don't have wings. But the Bible uses the word messenger, angel, and messenger interchangeably. You can look it up for yourself. God has sent me tonight with a message for somebody in this place. If you're willing to put it in his hands, he will send the blessing. He will send the blessing. He will break forth the light through the darkness. He will do it. Amen. God's promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some things in your life that will require a greater level of consecration. There are some things in your life that will require a greater and a deeper level of personal devotion unto God, personal commitment and promise unto God. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 17, 19 through 21, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. If you want to see a breakthrough, amen, if you really want to see that light shine through, amen, you've got to be willing to meet the Lord in prayer. You got to be willing to find your face, amen, buried in a carpet or in a pillow or in a couch or in a closet. Amen. You got to be willing to sacrifice. Sister Tori, come on. Hallelujah. There has to be, amen, this commitment inside of you. Amen. God, I don't understand it. I can't see my way through this. I don't have the answers, but I'm willing to break. I'm willing to break so dawn can come.